Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, for the first time, we have the amazing Candace Owens joining our program. She and I worked together at Turning Point USA for a couple years, and now she runs Blexit. And she's a dear friend, and you guys are going to love this conversation. We talk about the Chinese coronavirus, Me Too, Joe Biden, Black America, and whether or not she'll be running for office soon. She makes some news on this podcast. You guys are not going to miss it. Before we get started, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Make sure that subscribe button is pushed. Give us those 5-star reviews and leave us a review. And email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Come straight to me and then to our team. I want to hear from you. Buckle up, everyone. This is a great conversation you won't want to miss. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hello, everybody. I am so thrilled I think it's the first time on the Charlie Kirk Show to welcome someone that I have had the amazing opportunity of getting to know throughout the years, kind of the partner in crime that started a lot of our campus controversies at Turning Point USA. The amazing and the brilliant Candace Owens is on the Charlie Kirk Show from quarantine and from an undisclosed location. Candace, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. How are you holding up in these crazy times?
I mean, I'm going crazy just because none of it is really making any sense. The American people are being cheated and it's just a lot of fear mongering and a lot of dishonesty. So I think virtually everyone now has joined the party of understanding that the economic implications here are pretty severe.
Yeah. And it's not just about money, right? Because I think that something that frustrates me is that those of us that advocate for, you know, economic realism, essentially, they say, oh, you only care about money. These are livelihoods, suicide, alcoholism, anxiety. You know, they say we have to flatten the curve, but the curve, if you will, of suicide and, you know, alcoholism, that's going up, not to mention the undetected cancers, not to mention the tumors that are not being, you know, found because of regular doctor's visits. You're in kind of the belly of the beast, if you will. According to your Twitter, you almost got arrested because you weren't wearing a mask. Could you tell us that story?
Yeah. So I live very close to a Whole Foods. So I walk to Whole Foods every day. There's no reason for me to buy a bunch of food, especially because I travel so much. Every day in DC has been pretty lax. We were sort of one of the last cities that, even took on any of the measures, the lockdown measures. And, going to this Whole Foods every day, they've just started adding recently new measures. Like, I'm just bizarre. They don't even make sense. It's like, today we're going to make everybody hop on one foot. Today you can only walk north in certain aisles and south in other aisles. Really bizarre stuff. And so I was in there, walked into there one day, and a police officer chased me down. And she said that, you know, beginning on that day, the mayor had decided that everyone now must wear a mask when you're in the store. And I said, well, first and foremost, I haven't purchased a mask. So are you providing them? Presumably you're providing these masks. Of course, the answer is no. She ended up giving me one and said that if it happened again, you know, she was required to make sure that we were escorted out of the store. Now, who knows where it would have escalated, because I certainly wasn't going to leave. And I do want to say that I do feel bad for police officers because they're being put in a very unfortunate circumstance. And quite frankly, in my opinion, it's a circumstance that the left has been trying to put them in for a very long time, pitting citizens up against police officers and making them look like they're overly policing certain neighborhoods. Well, now they're policing Whole Foods. That Wow. can't be good for citizen morale.
Yeah, seriously. So you bring up a very interesting point, which is it seems if the left has some greater goals in the midst of all this, whether it be assuming more power, growing the state. I'm a huge advocate right now for reopening America. I think that it is long past due. The models have completely exploded. Something that you talked about early, and you took a lot of heat for this, Candace, but Dr. Birx even mentioned this in the press conference a couple weeks ago, where she said, well, we're taking a very liberal approach to how we are counting the COVID deaths. Can you talk about this? And it was one incident in Connecticut that you called out early and often, I think one in Pennsylvania. This is now mainstream, right? This is now the media saying, well, yeah, maybe we're not really sure if people are dying with the Chinese coronavirus, COVID-19, or because of the Chinese coronavirus. Can you comment on that? Because you were one of the early people that mentioned this.
Yeah, I mean, I catch a lot of heat because I'm not afraid of the media. I'm not afraid of the media mob. And I'm one of those people that doesn't believe that because a million people say something, it makes it true. And just because a million people were telling us that everyone was going to die and that this many people were becoming sick, first and foremost, it defied common sense. And what we see increasingly in times like this is that people no longer rely on their gut instincts. Your subconscious actually works faster than your conscious mind. And my gut instincts were just firing off every alarm. First and foremost, the way that they were doing a ticker count of coronavirus deaths made no sense. It takes medical examiners weeks to determine the cause of death. They weren't giving us details. How are these numbers being calculated? Suddenly we developed a system I couldn't find online, you know, accurate stats for how many people died of heart disease in the last 3 months. Suddenly it globally, we developed a system that spoke to every system worldwide. It could tell us every second they were monitoring how many people were dying of coronavirus. But going to your point, so I followed my gut instinct, and in Connecticut, I have two sisters and both of them actually just gave birth in Connecticut during this coronavirus mayhem. And it's a very trying time for new moms. I know what they're going through mentally, being locked inside of their homes and being told all this information. They don't know what to believe or what's true. Many people are not allowed to even have the people that they want when they're giving birth in the room because of COVID-19 restrictions. So for first-time moms especially, this is a complete and utter disaster. And when the governor of Connecticut, Ned Lamont, announced on Twitter and then did a press conference, she said an infant had died with, first infant to succumb to coronavirus and, you know, COVID-19 related illness. The language was just weird. The language was very weird, with coronavirus and no other details. And I knew that something was wrong, and I used my contacts and asked anybody that had information relating to this death to come forward. And it turned out that somebody did privately contact me with innate information about the case, and its mother smothered it. Its mother fell asleep on the baby, and the parents never lied about what happened when they contacted the police. The infant already arrived dead at the emergency room, and in its postmortem was tested for COVID-19, even though the infant died of suffocation. So I obviously made this a very big story. The next day, the governor, Ned Lamont, backtracked and said, had his doctor say that they didn't know how the infant had died. Well, you know, you had already spread around the world the infant had died of COVID-19. Now you're saying you don't know how the infant died. You better believe that if I was able to, a non-resident of Connecticut, dig up this information of how the infant died, the governor of Connecticut very much had that information at hand, chose to ignore it and to instead spread mass fear and panic amongst his state.
And it seems that some of these state agencies are readjusting the death toll numbers. And I agree with you. I found this whole kind of ticker of live streaming the death count. It's become fear-mongering because we don't know what the actual number was. And if we had a live ticker of people dying of heart disease, if we had a live ticker of automobile deaths, it'd be horrifying. I mean, it would change human behavior. And I think we're at a point now, and I made this point in a previous podcast, and I got plenty of heat with it too, which is, you know, the amazing thing about what happens when your state opens, you don't have to leave your house. It's actually, that's what's so cool about freedom and liberty, is that if you're really that scared, you can shelter in place forever. With all the uncertainty in the world, feeling safe at home has never been more important. It's why I want to talk to you about what I use to keep my home safe and the property I care about, SimpliSafe Home Security. There are criminals on the loose. Prisons are being opened because of bad policies and bad decisions. There are murderers out there that were not out there before. So you have to ask yourself the question, is my home safe? If you do not have a home security system, I have the solution. It's SimpliSafe, and they've made it easy, simple, and quick to finally get comprehensive protection you need for your home. There's no technician or salesperson that needs to come and disrupt your house. You don't need to pay any outrageous monthly fee or sign a 2-year contract. You just order online, set it up yourself in under an hour, and your home is protected 24/7 with emergency dispatch for break-ins, fire, and more, all for just 50 cents a day. We're not just the only fans of SimpliSafe. U.S. News and World Reports named SimpliSafe best overall home security for 2020. So head to SimpliSafe.com/Charlie and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's SimpliSafe.com/Charlie to make sure that they know our show sent you. And again, there are criminals on the loose. They're breaking into businesses. Break-ins are up 75% in New York City. And if you do nothing, well then, I think you're making the wrong decision. So do something about it. You guys go right now to simplisafe.com/Charlie to get set to your home. Within a couple days, you guys will be all set up, ready to go, and you can sleep easy knowing that you have 911 support, even cameras to keep your property safe. simplisafe.com/Charlie. simplisafe.com/Charlie. Candace, I'm afraid, and this is something you and I talked about a lot when we visited college campuses and was kind of a really big point of your outreach and messaging, is individual responsibility. I'm afraid that we are now becoming, it's like the left wants us to be nothing more than state-programmed automatons that can only do what the hierarchy tells us to do. Do you find this troubling, this direction that we're headed, more philosophically and culturally, where we're just turning our back on the ideas of liberty, freedom, individual responsibility, and individual sovereignty, and almost saying, well, the health experts say it's not safe to leave the home? What do you make of this almost digression away from freedom and liberty?
Well, I want to say that first and foremost, I disagreed with almost every single conservative and Republican, even in the initial assessments. I don't know where you stood on it, but I know a lot of people felt, you know, in the beginning, we don't know what the information is. It's responsible for us to shut down for a little bit until we know more. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. And I've spoken out against that because you cannot ever give them the inch. There's never been policies that were inflicted that suddenly, think about 9/11, you know, these acts are temporary, these measures are temporary, the Department of Homeland Security is temporary. None of it was temporary. We still have those things today. And looking at the COVID-19 response, it should have always been a free market response to what we did. It should have always been a free market policy. It should have said, if you're fearful, Charlie Kirk, and you don't want to go to work, you can stay at home. The beauty of living in the technological era is that everything is on your phone. You can order your groceries via the app. You can get CVS to deliver your medicine. Everything can be brought to you because of the beauty of a technology that we have today. So what was stopping that from being the initial response? Why did we ever stop that? The idea was supposedly because we had to help out the hospitals to make sure the hospitals weren't overwhelmed. The idea of saying to people that whenever your job gets overwhelmed, all of America is going to participate to make sure it doesn't get overwhelmed is not realistic. We had 80,000, the most severe flu death season in 2018, 80,000 deaths. The hospitals were incredibly overwhelmed at that time, right? We made no measure to shut down the entire economy. We should be sending them reinforcements. We should be asking people to volunteer. You don't depress and suppress the entire economy.
Well, and not to mention the other, and I mentioned this earlier, the health care that's not being done right now. I mean, COVID-19 and the Chinese coronavirus, that's not the only need of human beings. We have detectable cancers that are not being found right now. We have people that need diabetes treatments. We have people that just that don't want to go into the hospital because they're afraid that they're going to get this, you know, this disease. And actually, what we know about this, what we know about the Chinese coronavirus is that it is very infectious, but it's actually not as lethal as originally projected. And so these modelers, the very same modelers and the same community of experts, if you will, that told us that Trump would never win the election, the economy was going to crash, that told us that we're going to go to war with North Korea, basically have been wrong with every single prediction in the last 3 to 4 years, also told us that we'd have 2 million deaths because of this. And you look at other countries such as Sweden that have not completely and totally shut down, they are developing herd immunity. They are going to basically eliminate the potential of a second surge because of what they've done. And everything comes at a cost and comes at a price. And the price of shutting down an entire economy is you see generational wealth destroyed. We're borrowing $9 trillion in created money. You have entrepreneurs who dreams, ambitions, and visions of decades that have just completely, totally disappeared, not to mention the societal and cultural damage. Candace, is it worth it, or isn't it remotely worth it, the kind of shutdown that we've gone through here?
No. And I'll also say this, you know, a lot of conservatives made the argument, oh, well, Candace, you shouldn't be against this because we have a president that would never let this, you know, become that slippery slope. Like, you know, Trump will obviously lift these things when they need to be lifted. And I said to them, you do realize Trump is not going to be president forever. OK, imagine if Bernie Sanders became president thereafter. Right. And obviously it's not going to happen. But then you've just said to the left that it is completely permissible and acceptable for them to shut down the entire economy at a whim because they don't know about a new virus that's come around. That's the danger of the slippery slope. It's not about who is in power today.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And this is what I was trying to scream to conservatives. You have to stand up and say no to this. Of course, we understand that, you know, Trump was in a very sensitive situation. I don't envy him is what I'll say. You know, when you're dealing with the fact that many people have fallen for this. But I think really I blame a lot of this on conservatives and Republicans because this is when we gave up. We gave up. We fell for it. We know all of their tricks, Charlie. Every single day they tell you something until it's true. This week it's Trump wants you to drink bleach. They want you to drink bleach. They think if they say it a million times, suddenly it becomes true. And then they start using that thing where they term people who offer any disagreement in you're a racist, you're a sexist. This time it was you're a grandma killer, you're a granddad killer, right? You want grandma to die. I mean, it was all of the exact same tactics, and yet somehow I think we as conservatives fell for the fear, and they were able to do so much damage because we weren't that last line of defense in saying, no, we have more questions. We don't want to take severe measures.
Well, that's a very important point. And, you know, the New York Times did a whole piece on me because I dared to be a dissenting voice on this throughout the process. And, you know, I think that what's not clear to me is why. Why did conservatives not fight, at least respectfully push back on some of these measures? There's one thing to recognize. Okay, there is a new virus. There's something out there. Maybe we should quarantine the people that are at risk, because that's usually how quarantines work. Quarantines usually, you quarantine the people that are at risk, not the people that are not at risk. This is, Candace, we have a lot of history we can learn from. I know you're a history aficionado. I love history as well. The great Marcus Aurelius, the last great emperor of Rome, oversaw a plague. And even during that plague, they didn't quarantine healthy people. This is the first time in the history of humanity that we have quarantined healthy people. And the cost has been something that we've never seen before.
Smallpox was going on when we won the Revolutionary War. I mean, just if you really want to talk about looking at history.
That's a great point.
We fought for our freedoms in the midst of a smallpox outbreak.
And so going back to those freedoms, though, you know, we're at a critical juncture where I think the motives of the left are being made very, very clear, where there's a lot of Democrat governors and a lot of people on the left that almost they want a new norm of socialist status control and to use the shutdowns essentially as a gateway drug to socialism. And so, but then you have Republicans and conservatives, and I've done so much thinking on this. I'd love your thought, Candace. What it really comes down to is they don't want the media onslaught that will come after them. Do you find that to be true?
100%. And this is a perfect segue into my announcement in the midst of this that I was going to run for office.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that.
It's no longer about whether or not there are conservatives and Republicans that have good principles and are smart and have, I don't know, all of the degrees at Harvard, everything that you've been checking the box sort of a thing. But they're not brave. Right. If you don't have bravery, if you don't have courage, you have nothing. No one cares what you know. Right. Because what you know doesn't matter if you're fearful of a bad article being written about you. I couldn't care less. I genuinely wonder sometimes if the journalists knew how little I cared about what they wrote, if they would still write it. I mean, I don't even lose an hour of sleep, a minute of sleep, a second of sleep when I wake up and the New York Times, who has written a hit piece about me, tried to call me and threaten me early on into not writing my tweet, telling me I was scared. I would be scared if I was wrong. I said, what am I going to be scared of? I don't work for the administration. I'm not running for office. What am I going to be afraid of? Why do you think I'm afraid of you? Because they're realizing that we have so much influence, right? And unfortunately, when you realize that the people who do have good ideas, Republicans who do have good ideas, who are conservative on paper, don't have courage, none of it matters. Their ideas don't matter unless you're willing to stand up to the mob.
So I want to, there's so much I want to get into. So are you going to run against AOC, Candace? AOC against CAO? Because that your middle name is A, if I remember correctly. Am I right?
It is.
Okay. AOC versus CAO?
Honestly, you sit through one of those congressional hearings and you'll go, you know what? I'm actually not. I have no interest in being in the House. We're looking at a lot of places here and in terms of where I'll run. And I think an announcement will probably be coming in the next couple of months.
Woo, that's big news there.
Well, I think you should run too, because I think it's not enough for us to have our Candace Owens and Charlie Kirk shows and to do what we do on campus when we know that there are people that are bending to the will of socialists. We won't have a future in this country. We won't be able to have kids that grow up in the same America that we grew up in if we don't start getting people that have some spines, to stand up and fight for it. Now, I'm not saying everybody's spineless. I'm saying too many are.
Well, to transition to that point, I spoke out very forcefully and I got tons of criticism for it against the stimulus bill. 96-0 was what the Senate voted for. $2 trillion, $6 trillion with leverage, basically paying people to stay home at work, $25 million to the Kennedy Center, $75 million to NPR and PBS, $350 million to illegal foreign nationals that are domiciled in our country, tons of waste, fraud, and abuse within this bill, abuse with the PPP program, and 96-0. 96-0. And there wasn't even a vote in the House of Representatives, by the way. They just did a voice vote. So you could tell a lot during a times of crisis of who's willing to fight and who's willing to actually, you know, stand for what's correct. But 96-0 is what does that say about the current state of the Republican Party and the conservative movement?
You know what, Charlie? And let me just give you an example of talking about this stimulus. I actually saw today that somebody criticized the fact that you could actually earn more by filing for unemployment than if you stayed at your job, right? Thereby incentivizing people to try to get fired from their jobs because they'll get more from unemployment. And this is a perfect socialist trap, right? Because it sounds good immediately. Socialism is immediately rewarding if you don't think into the future. So everybody's trying to get fired and they're all going to lose their jobs. And of course, unemployment is not going to last forever because that is not the way it works. And then what happens? Well, of course, there's not going to be that many jobs for them to go back to. So then you've actually created people that had jobs, right, who willingly got fired from their jobs to enjoy a little bit of a benefit period of getting more from unemployment to then try to get back into the workforce and be unable to get back into the workforce because they've harmed their reputation having been fired, A, and B, because there isn't as many jobs because we depressed our entire economy. I mean, it's such a Machiavellian effort from socialists. Of course, AOC responds to this critique on Twitter today, and she says, well, maybe they need to pay people as much the government will pay them, because she still thinks the government makes money, apparently. And the government is giving away, I don't know where this money's coming from, but she's convinced the government makes money and they're paying people now.
Well, Pook, it required her to get an economics degree from wherever she went to school for her to believe the foolishness that she espouses. And you actually got her to unblock you from Twitter by finally getting lawyers involved. You had to get her at almost, you know, legal force to get her to do that. But this goes to a broader point where I see a very just dramatic turn right now during this time's a crisis, right? This crisis that's happening. And, you know, there are parts of the country, and I know people that have been affected, and I know people that have, you know, suffered under this particular virus. However, you know, Dennis Prager brought up a great point. Would we be shutting down New York if the outbreak was concentrated to Montana and Idaho? If this was concentrated to that part of the country, would we be shutting down New York and Los Angeles? And I think the obvious rational answer is, of course not. Of course we wouldn't be. And so it's almost as if, you know, we had to shut down the entire country. And you brought up a point, and there were a lot of headlines from you for saying this. And I agree that it seems as if these Democrat governors now want the bailout money because they've shut down their entire states. You're from Connecticut. I'm from the bankrupt, corrupt state of Illinois, where, you know, they have term limits in Illinois, one term in office, one term in jail. You've only heard me say that a couple hundred times now, Candace. So do you think there's ulterior motives from these governors to try to get federal government bailout money? And do you think that we should now be louder than ever to make sure that our taxpayer dollars and your kids and my future kids do not have to pay to alleviate the debts of these corrupt, backward states?
Absolutely. And it makes me so angry. And let me just say this. A month ago, I was saying three things and all of them were called conspiracy theories. And today they're all considered verified facts. I looked into it and said that hospitals were being paid more for coronavirus deaths, thereby incentivizing them to put down a possible coronavirus death, even when people were not tested. That's now been verified true, right? I said that obviously the models were wrong. Common sense, if this was as deadly as people were saying it was, people like me and you who travel 5 days a week would be dead first. We would be the first to let them know. That's all now been true, and everybody's reversing and saying the epidemiologists were wrong and they were feeding it the wrong data. And the third thing that I said was that you were going to see the states that are suffering from budget deficits be the ones that are the loudest in perpetuating this narrative. Connecticut, they were the ones who had the very first infant death that ended up being debunked, ended up being dishonest. What is the purpose of that? Because they're facing a massive pension collapse right now, because these states continually and routinely mismanage their funds by giving to various programs that the money should never go to. You've got the usual suspects, the usual blue suspects, Charlie. New York, California, Illinois, Connecticut. It's like, are you kidding me? Right? It's too perfect of a narrative. And you know what I will say? And this is something that actually brings me warmth to know this. They may have done all of this because they thought that it was going to help them in the beginning. But the way it works is that it's actually going to work in the reverse, because it's not just Republicans that are losing their jobs, right? It's Democrats whose businesses are being shuttered. It's Democrats who are losing their livelihoods here, as well as Republicans. And they're all waking up and realizing, hey, what the heck just happened, right? People that normally don't pay attention to gubernatorial races are going, did my governor really continually, Governor Whitmer is looking like Joseph Stalin at the moment, right? I mean, like, seriously, people are waking up going, who did we vote into this office? And so what's actually happening is, at the end of the day, I do think that it's giving conservatives a bigger arsenal to fight with, because people will realize something when it impacts their actual lives, yeah. Impacting everyone's lives right now.
Yeah, but that is only true, Candace, when there's a choice, not an echo, where you have people like Governor Kristi Noem, who says, I preserve freedom and liberty. Our friend Kristi Noem, right, who we obviously spent some time with before, and she's phenomenal, who she said, no, I'm going to protect freedom, liberty, individual responsibility. We're a state where people can make smart, informed choices, and if they're going to make dumb choices, they're going to pay a price for that. By the way, Candace, what frustrated me the most is that...
That's a free market response.
Yes, exactly.
Free market response, and that is what every single person should have done in this scenario.
What bothers me is that when you and I go up against leftists on campus and we defend the Second Amendment, our whole argument is that we have to trust people that are going to be generally responsible. But yes, there will be gun-related deaths. Like, that's going to happen. There will be accidental discharges. There will be an infant that finds the weapon irresponsibly and unfortunately does something they shouldn't do. There will be suicides, and there will be death because of it. But we make the argument to college students, right? Hey, it's worth it because we need the freedom to be able to own a firearm, right? 32,000 people a year, if you count the suicides, death by firearm discharge. We just like forgot that whole argument when it came to freedom of movement of people, when it came to this particular virus, right? But back to your point, it's not going to be in the Republicans' favor if we just say, well, we shut down less, or if we just did less. We need the choice, not the echo. And I'm getting blown up, I'm sure you are too, in the messages and emails from people that are Democrats, people that are leftists, that say, I want to be able to go back to work. This is not sustainable. I have family members that need medical treatment. And so for the Republicans out there and the conservative politicians that are listening to it, at this moment, that are still in support of these shutdowns, I mean, how are we going to communicate this to them effectively? Because I'm afraid that the Democrats, they have 40% of the American population. Quite honestly, they're loving these shutdowns. Like, they're like, yeah, it's fine, it's cool, there's, you know, nothing wrong with this. But if we do not offer an alternative, then are we nothing more than just Democrat light?
That's what I was going to say. Don't call yourself a conservative. I mean, the only thing you can say to these people that are still on the side of having shutdowns is don't call yourself a conservative. Everyone should be reopening immediately. And governors should say, hey, you know, I recommend if you're afraid or if you have an immunodeficient disorder, maybe you should stay home.
And we should take care of those people. Like, we should look after those people. Yes.
Very old. And guess what? He's never asked for us to shut down all of society to make sure he didn't catch the coronavirus. And I cannot say enough how disappointed I am in the conservatives and the Republicans who have not stood up for freedom, who have not understood that we have a right to assemble. You don't have to like it. I have a right to go socialize. You can think that's stupid. I have a right to go out and make money. I have a right to go out and give a speech. And if people are dumb and want to come and hear Candace Owens speak, we have a right to be dumb, right? I mean, if you think it's so stupid, let us make our own decisions, and you'll be the last one laughing when you're in your basement and all of us are apparently wiped out.
Yeah, what I find to be so perplexing about this, and again, we have such a dishonest media. I put the media as number one culprit for this entire thing, and there's plenty of people, I think, and also just the dogmatic scientists that don't ever look at any other data, that are just so tunnel visioned, despite all the great other scientists, Dr. John Ioannidis, those two guys from Bakersfield, California, that their video got taken off YouTube because they, for an hour long, literally without raising their voice, just talked about data. YouTube thought that violated the community guidelines and standards, which is absolute nonsense and total balderdash. But if you go back, which is so perplexing, and the media never uses this as a cross-examination, you have Democrats that 2 to 3 years ago were saying, we need to legalize weed because people should have the freedom to be able to do whatever they want. People should have the freedom to either do, if they don't want to do it, then don't do it. They're all on the side of freedom for being able to have public injections on the side of the San Francisco streets. They're all about freedom for sexual liberation. You know, they're all about freedom for things that you and I would probably call indecent. And yet when it comes to leaving your house during a time that, now we know that the models have been blown up. It's not nearly as it's not nearly as deadly as we thought. They say, "Oh no, we need you to stay under the guise of safety." Washington D.C., according to what I have read, is going to be under some form of lockdown and no public assembly till July 11th. And so, you could continue this argument against false, you know, this false sense of safety and freedom goes back to Plato versus Aristotle. This is nothing new. Here's a more philosophical question for you, Candace. Do you think human beings actually want to be free, or do you think they want to be taken care of?
Well, so, you know, you could bring that argument back to the Revolutionary War, too. And I say this to inspire patriots. Don't forget, we weren't just fighting the Brits overseas. We were fighting the Americans that were allegiant to the crown over here as well. And so you have people that enjoy the comfort of being taken care of. Do I think that's the overwhelming majority of Americans? No. I think that these people are probably young, inexperienced, that, you know, a lot of these people that just want to get fired to go on unemployment. It's like a little, it's a little scam. It's fun for a little bit. But the depression that comes from not being able to continue to be able to provide for yourself long term, absolutely not. What we need to really take an objectively look at here, Charlie, is the fact that everything the left has been fighting for the last 4 years has been given to them on a silver platter in the last 2 months. Okay. They wanted more socialism. They wanted more government dependency, right? They wanted more funding for their ridiculous arts and sciences projects that are probably.
They wanted churches to shut down.
Right. Every single thing that we have fought tooth and nail for, to battle them for with these last 4 years, they got done in 2 months. Wow. Credit handed to them, right? And this is why I say it is like, people need to be mindful. When you are afraid is especially the time where you need to pause and think. That second you feel a little bit of emotion, right? It's what woke me up to what they were doing to Black Americans, realizing that they were using the media every single night, showing us images of Black people dying. Therefore, the equation was police officers want Black people dead. It was the same exact strategy used for the coronavirus. And yet not everybody paused and thinked. Everyone ran with emotion and abandoned rationale.
With no NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball going on, you might think there's nothing to bet on, but you would be wrong. I loved watching the NFL draft. Felt really bad for Jake Fromm. Joe Burrow succeeded. Justin Herbert got a really good shot. I can't wait for football to be back. Just because you're missing NFL, that does not mean that there's not stuff to be able to wager on. BetOnline has the live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can wager on. If you're into entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. All open 24 hours a day and all online. I can't wait for sports to be back. I'm watching that Jordan documentary. If you guys have not watched it, you guys have got to check it out. I can't wait for the NBA to be back, for baseball to be back. And that's why you guys got to stay involved and stay engaged with BetOnline, your online wagering solution. So right now, visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag. Don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So I've watched a couple of these briefings and I've watched the daily newscast and I get a lot of the emails. There's a huge narrative that Black Americans are suffering disproportionately, that Black America is the true victim of the Chinese coronavirus. Is this true? How do you interpret this? How should our audience make sense of this? Because I could tell you a lot of conservatives have also bought into this narrative. And I'm asking you, is it true or is it not true?
So first and foremost, I can't remember the name of the group on Facebook, but it's funny because it inspired a Black person who is a Democrat to post on Facebook that this narrative about COVID-19 affecting Black people seems bizarre. And the person asked for all Black people to comment if they knew anybody who had coronavirus or had died. And everyone was like, nope, 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 nope. And then, of course, you now have probably seen the images in the news of the residents in Chicago partying, dancing, having strippers over. I mean,
I don't support that, but
in the news because they actually find them for having a party with a bunch of strippers, and they've now been showing just all of these different pockets of in inner city communities where they're having these great ragers. And I had said this early on, if you go speak to any person that lives in the projects, none of them are taking this coronavirus to the extent that people are taking this in what I really believe to be a suburban simulation. These people are not spending their every hour watching CNN or Fox News. What they're doing is they're living their lives and they're being told they can't work. So they're throwing parties. I had an update conversation with my cousin, who you know, who lives in the projects. And
she's a great person.
Yeah. And she made the joke like, you know, is suburban America done going crazy yet? Because she's just like, this is just, she literally just was just saying, it seems like white America has gone crazy again and we can't figure out what's going on. And so all of this to say is that that was one of the reasons why the policies that were being put forth on coronavirus were ill-advised, is because they assumed that all of America lives the same way, that all of America is invested in the mainstream news. You try telling a black person that lives in the south side of Chicago who watches 60 black Americans get slaughtered in one weekend, they need to be mindful now because there's a virus that they could maybe catch when nobody cared when they were being slaughtered, you know, when they're being slaughtered in their own neighborhoods. So it's different strokes for different folks. I think it's all absolutely bogus. Is there likely could you build a coronary artery between poverty and high rates of death? Of course, always, forever. And that's why we should let people get back to work so we don't impoverish millions more.
Yeah, exactly. And government assistance will only keep people barely at the level they are, not allow them to get generational income or wealth to be able to break out of their current status. So, Candace, you were very vocal early on the Chinese coronavirus, and you were vindicated on the things you mentioned. When you and I started our kind of fun time at Turning Point USA traveling campuses, you also spoke out very publicly and very assertively. I'll never forget it, just a couple days before our Young Women's Leadership Summit, which might have been the best or worst time for you to take this stance, but nevertheless you did, against hashtag Me Too. And I'll never forget, we stood by you proudly, by the way, because your comments were ahead of its time and somewhat clairvoyant, where you just cross-examined this whole Me Too mob and said, why should we just believe all women? And then a couple months later, the Kavanaugh hearings happened, and you and I were right in the midst of all that, traveling the country, CU Boulder. We were huge voices around that. But going back to that June of 2018, you remember that, when the reporters came after you, you said, I'm telling you right now, this Me Too thing is going to get blown up, especially when a Democrat gets accused of this stuff. Their hypocrisy is going to be shown. Can you first take our listeners back a little bit to 2018, and then we can bring it up to today.
All right, guys, of the Charlie Kirk Show, I'm going to let you guys know what actually happened. Okay, listeners. So Me Too started taking off, and like a lot of leftist ploys and plots and things that become very popular and viral very quick, everybody just instantly believed and accepted it. And it's understandable because what they were using was sexual assault and rape. And it was a topic, of course, that made most people uncomfortable. So nobody wanted to challenge the narrative. Of course, they were then saying, if you challenge the narrative, you wanted women to be raped, which is completely bogus and absurd. This starts trending, and Charlie is about to have his Turning Points Young Women's Leadership Summit. I think we're literally 48 hours before the summit, and the media is always on top of Charlie, extra crazy ahead of these summits, and they're looking for anything to take him down with. And lo and behold, Candace Owens tweets, and this is when I was with the organization, that the entire Me Too movement is an absolute scam, and it delegitimizes real rape victims and all of this stuff. And the internet exploded, left and right, condemning me, saying, you know, how could I, how should I, all of this stuff. And, you know, it was a tough week for Turning Point USA. And I remember specifically sitting in this small room at the conference. We were in the back of the room and press was outside. And Charlie and I had a conversation. And I said to him, I can't apologize for this. I meant every word I said. I know I'm early on this. There's a bit of clairvoyance here, but you know I'm right. And this is going to be bad for men. And they're going to start using women to take down men. And it's going to be political hit jobs. And Charlie looked at me and he said, we're going in there. I'm going to defend you and we're just going to have to fight. And he went out there. He did not say, we made no apologies for what I said.
Not one inch.
Maybe clarified exactly what I meant, but we did not make any apologies. And we were vindicated when the Brett Kavanaugh hearing came around. And then conservatives woke up and realized that they had yielded too much rope to the left once again. And now today, it's even further vindication with the Joe Biden claims.
Well, it's so instructive for conservatives because when the left creates a mob around something, there's usually nonsense behind it or nefarious motives, whether it be the gun grabbers, Black Lives Matter, Me Too. And just as a corollary back to today times, isn't it amazing how they love all those three movements and those protests, yet they don't like when we actually want our lives back for liberty and freedom? All of a sudden, we're the evil people for protesting. I don't think that the Me Too people were socially distanced, okay? I think that they were actually pretty on top of each other, okay? When Madonna said she wanted to blow up the White House, she was not 6 feet apart from Alyssa Milano. Speaking of Alyssa Milano, Candace, can you just let one rip on her? Because I find her to be she's a third-rate actress, by the way. She's a complete and total disgrace and fraud. I'll never forget, she sat there behind an innocent man, Judge Brett Kavanaugh, who was under such unbelievable physical, emotional duress, right? Just the whole weight of the world, while his kids were being land blasted. There were ads against his family. He had to sit there and justify that he didn't do something, right? Guilty until proven innocent 35 years ago from high school, despite a totally clean record. And she stared at him with that nasty glare and tried to have a whole movement against him. And now we have more evidence. And guess what? I think that Joe Biden should be innocent until proven guilty. We're consistent. But there's more evidence against Joe Biden from Tara Reid. And she says, oh, well, this is a smear job and a con job, and the evidence doesn't stack up. Please let one rip against this third-rate actress who calls herself a movement builder.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to mince words here. I think Alyssa Milano represents the lowest vermin of our society. And it has been great to see people go after her. This is a rare moment where me and Rose McGowan, who was considered to be ground zero of the Me Too movement with her claims against Harvey Weinstein, connected on Twitter in agreement that Alyssa Milano is the lowest piece of vermin that could possibly be in our society. And I'm going to tell you why I called her that. It is one thing, to say that you stand on the side of wanting every single woman to be believed, right? It's totally fraudulent, of course, because people can lie. I don't stand on that principle.
Silly. It's just, yeah.
That's one extreme. Worse than that are people that are only pretending, who saw an advantage to use sexual assault and rape in the way that you and I foresaw early on, because they realized that this was an area that people would just instantly possibly get behind and believe. To use that, to use something as horrifying as rape and sexual assault,
yes,
to take down people because it is politically advantageous for you to do so, you are a despicable human being. Seriously, she is a despicable human being. There is no excuse for somebody like her. I think just today she has now made some concession and said, sure, Tara Reid should have a voice, after referring to this woman as a liar, as referring to this woman as a con artist.
As a Russian agent, yes.
And this woman, we can't even compare this to Brett Kavanaugh. Christine Blasey Ford didn't tell a single soul for 30 plus years until this man was about to be confirmed. Her friends and her ex-boyfriends all said that the claims weren't true, plus pointed out the fact that she was lying various times in her testimony. Case in point, saying that she hasn't been able to get on planes since, when her ex-boyfriend said she used to fly around in Hawaii, right?
She was a jet setter all over the South Pacific.
Right. So this woman was actually verifiably lying, told no one, and her best friend that she tried to loop into it said that she also lied. It's the exact opposite circumstance of Tara Reid. These are actually allegations that should be looked into. In 1993, her mother goes on the what show is it?
The Larry King Show on CNN and calls in. And CNN totally censors it.
They removed it. They removed the episode. What more proof do you need? The people that were banging down the doors, right, had cameras in there every move, every single second for Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation, have now systematically removed an episode that verifies the fact that this woman has told people for decades. She didn't talk about this when it was politically advantageous.
Can we just make a very important distinction? The accusation against Brett Kavanaugh was him as a high schooler, a teenager. Against Joe Biden was a United States senator. Like, there's a little bit difference of maturity levels between an elected senator and a high schooler. And Brett Kavanaugh did not do what he was accused of. But what happens in high school, absent the most horrific crimes, should be given some space for maturity, progress, and growth. You know, everything that we believe in Western civilization, that you get older and you get wiser and you learn from your mistakes. But the left doesn't want any of that. Yet with Joe Biden, and look, I don't know whether he did this or not. All I do know is that, unlike with Brett Kavanaugh, I have minutes of footage of Joe Biden, like, basically doing some very creepy things to young women. And the media, we do not have a media in our country. The best way I could describe it is we have an activist community of people that control big platforms that disguise themselves as journalists. That's what it is. Candace, that when you and I go to these protests and they're screaming in our face, these apparatchiks are screaming, it's no different than the person at the media that might just happen to be able to control that rage and anger and disguise it. It's much more Alinsky, actually. They're much more Alinsky. Just because they wear, you know, a cardigan and, you know, they actually take hygiene a little bit more seriously than the people that scream at us, doesn't mean their ideology is any different. The Washington Post came out with the article last night, and I try not to get too emotional with this stuff, but it literally said, Trump allies drum up old claims against Joe Biden. I said, this wasn't like we were going through WikiLeaks emails and trying to connect things. This wasn't, you know, a Daily Caller or Breitbart exclusive. The left is so morally bankrupt on this one example that if anyone votes Democrat after this, I have no words. And I keep on saying that, like, well, if they keep on voting Democrat after this, you know, because they want post-birth abortion or they want free cash to illegals. But with this particular incident, you know, the Daily Caller, they do great work. They reached out to every single Democrat senator and they gave them time. They gave them days to respond saying, do you care to comment on any of these accusations? It's Tara Reid. Not one office responded, Candace.
I'll tell you what's going to happen, and I'm predicting this right now. I want some more Candace clairvoyance. Eventually, whoever the Democrat lords are that sit behind and tell them when they're all allowed to say something, they're all going to break their silence on the same day, and they're all going to issue a statement. I mean, Kamala Harris, she was one of the biggest faces during the Brett Kavanaugh thing. All women should be heard and have their voices heard. Silence, crickets, AOC, all of them. As soon as whoever it is says, okay, here's what we're all going to say, you're going to hear all of them saying the exact same thing across the line. They're either going to choose to burn him or support him, right? And there is not going to be a single break across any Democrat lines in terms of doing this. And let me tell you something else in terms of saying that the majority of them are activists. I said to my husband this morning, because I had a long phone call with a Washington Post reporter, literally an hour and a half phone call, she's interviewing me, and she was fair in the conversation. We'll see what the article comes out and says. You know, she's saying to me, how did I know going back to the infant in Connecticut, right? And I said, how didn't you know? You guys are the journalists that will jump in bushes when Trump's golfing for 6 days, right? To get to the bottom of how many hours he golfed that day. And you are doing no investigative journalism for these big stories surrounding coronavirus. You're doing no investigative journalism for the sexual, actually that sound quite valid sexual assault allegations against Joe Biden.
Yes.
They decide when they want to do the bushes for Trump's golfing. They'll be there for 3 days.
It's even more than that. They found calendars of Brett Kavanaugh from high school. Within days, they had a CNN panel of Brett Kavanaugh's classmates from grade school, from third grade, of someone being like, yes, I remember Bretty. And he was always...
How many Diet Cokes Trump drinks?
That's right. They had a medical professional saying 9 Diet Coke intakes can be very harmful to the sugar balances. And I think this might be mentally impairing the president. This is the same journalist group, right? The journalist group that when President Trump said kafefi, all of a sudden they had like a Roman historian on CNN saying, well, if you take kafefi, it might be a white supremacist virtue. It might be a dog whistle to the people, you know, but they're trying to tell me they can't find Tara Reid's friends.
No, they couldn't do it. They can't do anything. It is incredible. Just weighing against when they want to be investigative journalists for things that mean nothing. I mean, the layers of investigative journalism that they will do to take down Trump, and they just cannot even think about it. They don't know anything about anything else. They can't possibly look into these very credible Joe Biden allegations. Yes. By the way, if the evidence that has been presented against Joe Biden was presented against Brett Kavanaugh, I would have said that Trump needed to choose a different nominee. That is how credible the allegations are. I mean, this woman, since 1993, I mean, there is a record of her talking about what happened to her. I mean, how can you say that that's not credible? She didn't remember the house. Her friend that was with her said it never happened. She didn't tell her friend that was with her, but apparently ran out of the house, but never the next day told her friend why she ran out. I mean, her story was just not verifiable at all.
Not to mention Julie Swetnick. You remember these other people that came up that said, oh yeah, Brett Kavanaugh oversaw, what was it, a rape parade or something? It was something so unbelievable. No, seriously, it was so graphic that it was basically, she was describing something out of Narcos or something, some sort of cartel scene. No, seriously, it was so unbelievably graphic. I never knew Chevy Chase, Maryland was like the Sinaloa cartel. Like, I never knew that teenagers that went to, you know, basically the most elitist schools on the Eastern Seaboard were involved in activity that would make El Chapo wince. And we, all of a sudden, the media said, it must be true! It must be true! And then Avenatti represented that, you know, represented her, like, oh yeah, credible. Avenatti gets released from prison because of the Chinese coronavirus. I have a very strong opinion about this. These prisoners that are getting released, someone got killed, by the way, in Florida because they early released a wrong prisoner. I don't know if you saw that or not. I'll send you that story. Someone got killed. And so I don't mean this heartless or inhumane. You and I argued for criminal justice reform favorably for the president because it was needed. But I do not think the priority when a pandemic happens should be protecting individuals that are there for raping our fellow citizens or killing them. I mean, if there happens to be a coronavirus outbreak when there's in prison, you probably shouldn't have killed that person then to get in prison.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm thinking, that the exact same thing here, Charlie. I don't understand. I really at no point did my heart go, oh, the poor murderers and child rapists. And at no point in this whole thing did I say, oh, no, now the murderers who kill people are going to maybe die from COVID-19. I just didn't feel that. My heartstrings didn't pull. Call me a monster. Call me a grandma killer. But if grandpa's in prison because he killed somebody, I really don't feel particularly sad that he might catch COVID-19. But the left, on the other hand, who wants me arrested for going to Whole Foods, was more than happy to release criminals from prison.
And so that, you know, some journalist was on one of the networks. I said, well, it's very dehumanizing for these people to be in prison. I said, what do you call it when they killed somebody? Do you think that was dehumanizing? Like, what do you think? Like, do you think the murder part should be factored into their early release? Like, the taking of another life, like, should be in the formula of how we evaluate this person's morality. Are you guys getting crushed under the cartel of the colleges? Are you a parent that has kids that are suffering under student loan debt? Well, there's a way out. I'm sure a lot of you are wondering how to pay off student loan debt, either for yourself or for your kid. The answer is Credible.com. I know people that have used this. They talk very highly about it. Credible.com is an online marketplace that gets you pre-qualified student loan refinancing rates from up to 10 different lenders. If you guys are in college right now, or if you're parents of a college student, this helps get people out of student loan debt. If you've got student loan debt, you could benefit. Here's what can happen. With a lower rate, you could save on interest and lower your monthly payment, basically more cash for you every month. With a shorter loan term, you can get debt-free faster. You can consolidate all your student loan bills in one place. Credible customers have given awesome reviews on how much better their lives have been after refinancing their student loans. On Credible, you see actual pre-qualified rates from up to 10 different lenders, whereas with some other marketplaces, you only get a range of rates or ballpark estimates. It only takes a couple minutes to check rates. Checking rates does not impact your credit. I repeat, it does not impact your credit. They never sell your data, so you won't receive spam and phone calls from dozens of lenders. So if you see those student loans continually giving you anxiety, if you wonder how you're going to get those interest rates paid off, if you're a parent that is worrying for your kid and maybe it impacts you as well, here's what you do. Go right now to credible.com/Charlie. That's credible.com/charlie. When you refinance your student loans using this link, they'll give you a $200 gift card, free cash, Andrew Yang style. If you guys go to credible.com/Charlie, credible.com/Charlie. If you guys have student loan debt, it's the only path forward, credible.com/Charlie. And I know that we're, you know, getting short on time here, but I want to talk about also the assault on religious freedom and religious liberty. And we saw on Easter Sunday, the holiest day on the Christian calendar, we as Christians were not allowed to go to church. We weren't even allowed to socially distance to get communion the day that we're supposed to, you know, celebrate Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, resurrected. Yet on the same day in California, you go to weed shops, you go to liquor stores, you go to a department store. I don't know if you've been to a home improvement store. It's like, it's unbelievable. I mean, people are right up against each other. I mean, I guess those are essential. But Candace, can you talk about how the left is all of a sudden playing moral and societal referee of what is essential and what is not essential right now?
So really, having a job and money is essential to everyone. So no matter what your job is, it's essential to you and your home because that's how you provide for yourself. So the idea that some people's jobs are more essential than others is pointedly ridiculous. And that's really the way that they should be looking at the equation. Everybody having a place of work is essential to them. So people being hit extremely hard, people that don't even have a lot of money to begin with. I mean, think about people that are waitresses and bartenders, and these people are getting hurt so bad, they rely on tips. We've now turned the entire economy into Uber Eats, right? And this is problematic. And I will say this, I was encouraged reading the story of the mayor in New Mexico that stood up to the governor and defied orders, and he's opening things up. This is what needs to happen. I am in full support of any mayors that say, I'm not listening to governor orders, and I'm going to start to reopen. I'm in full support of people just reopening their businesses. Because I think that when push comes to shove, the police officers are not going to make the arrest. Could you imagine if your church ever opened on Sunday and a bunch of people went to worship? What's going to happen? They might write him a fine. Right. And I think that you'd be hard pressed not to find a bunch of churchgoers who aren't willing to help pay that fine.
Sure.
people need to realize that if you think that they're going to start arresting a bunch of people because they want to go to church, those are not going to be good visuals, especially at the same time if they're releasing Michael Avenatti, because it's a risk for him to be in prison. Well, and I'm at that point. I think that we are genuinely in a battle for the soul of this nation, and patriots need to stand up. I've been in support of the protests. I've been in support of the reopenings, and I've been consistent across the board on that since the beginning.
And it's why we need to peacefully rebel, and why Christians and conservatives need to be more vocal about this. And just to kind of go against, again, the irony of the double standard of the left, if the left didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have standards at all. But, you know, their mayors are the first ones to say, we will not abide by sanctuary city policy, you know, your policy, we will declare this a sanctuary city. Well, guess what? You having the crimes of illegal immigrants and illegal aliens and foreign nationals in your city will long-term do a lot more damage than the Chinese coronavirus. That's just the facts of it. You having foreign nationals that are criminals, that are trafficking drugs, that are here stealing Social Security numbers, that are depressing wages for Black America, all the crimes that they have committed for being here in the first place. Oh, we declare this a sanctuary city. We're being rebellious. And all of a sudden, now you have mayor stepping up again saying, no, we're going to peacefully allow our people to be able to go to church. How dare you? You're the worst thing in society. I thought the media loved it when these mayors stood up against the man.
That is such a good point that I'm so angry I wasn't the one who thought of it. Like, I just literally am thinking, like, that is such a solid point. The same people that wanted to defy orders to allow illegal criminals to run around are now saying that they refuse, to stand up for their actual tax-paying citizens and allow them to earn an income. And the people that are giving them all the money they have, where are those tax revenues coming from but the businesses? And this goes back to the larger idea that what the Democrats and the lefts love are criminals. They hate Americans. They love criminals, right? They love criminality. They love, if there are more and more ways that they can hurt the American economy, they're happy. Right. And they don't listen to what people want. And that's the other thing that I said early on. You cannot assign value in people's lives. Right. That is sort of one of the core arguments against socialism. Right. Is that we're all different. What makes you tick, what makes me tick is different. They have now decided for tons of people, yes, including old people. Some old people are like, I don't want this. Right. And they don't care. No, we need to keep you alive forever. If you speak to my grandfather or you speak to my husband's parents who are older, they're like, I don't want to live forever. I'm tired, right? You know, and what they value at this point in their life is time with their family.
Quality of life.
Quality of life is what matters when you get older, right? It's not about trying to see extent if you can live to be 100 years old if you're going to be alone in your basement because your government quarantined you. That's a horrible existence. And yet we have a government that's trying to tell them how they have to live and what they have to value. And that's wrong.
So to kind of close this, I want to talk about the election. You have been running an amazing effort, Blexit, the Black Exit from the Democrat Party, and you have the Blexit Foundation, which I know is a 501c3, so you have to be careful talking about the election. But talking personally about the election, I have a couple kind of questions on how you see things that are trending, especially given the Chinese coronavirus. Running up against the most corrupt vice president in American history and the most corrupt father-son duo, it's like the Gambino crime family, decided to become vice president. They sold our country out to the Chinese, the Ukrainians. His brother made a bunch of money doing something very suspicious after the 2008 financial crisis, and his other money built a bunch of homes in Iraq and made hundreds of millions of dollars. Joe Biden doesn't know what state he's in. He doesn't know if he's personally what state he's in. He confuses his wife with his sister, what president he served under. He calls people lying-faced, doggy, pony soldiers or something like that. He insults journalists if they dare say things that he does not like. He loves the Chinese Communist Party. He said that it's no big deal that they have risen to ascension. He's under credible accusations from Lucy Gonzalez. I might be screwing up her name. And Tara Reid. Besides that, he's a wonderful candidate. Candace, can you give us some insight into this election? Because we need the conservative base unified behind President Trump. We need Americans that, despite how they feel about these shutdowns, despite the anger that they feel, put all of that aside. That is not an excuse to not go knock on doors, wear your MAGA hats, be vocal. We need the Trump movement unified more than ever before. Can you comment on how things are going into this November? And then I do want to ask you about the Black vote.
Well, first and foremost, I'd say we're fortunate going into November because the Democrats don't have a candidate. What we're not fortunate about is that they've been able to put through a lot of policies that are effectively going to help them try to rig the election. And anybody pay attention to their ballot harvesting measures in talking about the things that they've
Seriously.
Been trying to push through? Anybody pay attention that Ralph Northam in Virginia just made it so that illegals can vote, you know, because they're not going to be checking voter IDs? These are big problems. And we need to start making sure that we take concerted efforts, that we take the fight to them. you know, I'm big support of people like Tom Fitton and the Judicial Watch who are taking those early efforts and realizing how the left is going to rig this. I think they know they can't win, not only because they have a strong candidate, but because more and more Americans, not just conservatives, are uniting behind Trump. Liberals are too. Every single one of my family members that was on the right, that was on the left before, is now on the right. And a lot of them are starting to realize something's not adding up. And I think that if anything, what has happened in terms of this coronavirus is going to further perpetuate that feeling. But you are correct in saying that every single Republican conservative needs to do what they can. It's helpful to us, and especially Black America. I think the vote is going to be even more essential than it was. Mostly because, you know, Black America, I think, was the most unaffected emotionally by the coronavirus and the everyday we're all going to die doom and gloom, which means that they are understanding that this president has brought them a lot of great things. And the Democrats just took it all away in one fellow swoop. The Democrats took all of their progress away in 2 months. And I think that we have to get in front of this and say that this is what the left wants to keep doing. This is what they're arguing for, is more socialism. Trump had the best numbers ever going into February, and then poof, coronavirus hits. And now we're seeing what the left wants and what the socialists wants. And that's what we have to fight at the polls in November.
So I want to reinforce that you run, it's blackset.com. If people want to check it out, get engaged, get involved, and they should support your righteous effort to get Black America thinking outside of the simulation and thinking outside of the monolith. Do you see, though, Candace, that the Black vote is on its way towards cracking? Because I felt like we were on that trajectory prior to the coronavirus. If I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that it's even more so now, that you're saying that we have an even greater opportunity, and the opportunity in the Black community has only been heightened because of the Chinese coronavirus. Is that correct?
Correct. And I mean, look at it, just in terms of this coronavirus pandemic, we've seen two Black people in office, Vernon Jones, I believe his name is, who was censured by his own party by saying that he was done being on the plantation and that he was tired of the treatment. And then we saw the young woman who got censured for saying something positive about Trump. And she's been making the rounds in the news for simply saying that the hydroxychloroquine saved her life. And so I think that helps us. These people are being brave, and they're saying that this party is trying to make them fall in line with a narrative that simply isn't true. And they're getting tired of that. We need more, Black Democrats to flee what I've always called the Democratic plantation. And we'll wrap that by saying my book, Blackout, How Black America Can Make Its Second Escape from the Democratic Plantation, is on sale, but don't know when it's actually going to be in your hands because everything's on pause because of coronavirus.
But pre-order it right now so you guys can get that done, and it'll be coming out soon. Candace, you got to come back on more often. This is so much fun, and we're going to have obviously a lot to comment on coming in these next couple months. But, you know, thank you for all that you've done for our country, and, you know, thank you for what you've done for Turning Point USA. And once we get events back, you know, we got this chart coming up for one of our events. You know, they sent us a seating chart. I kid you not, you would laugh. It was 100 seats in a room that could seat 5,000, and it was 10 feet between each seat. We're like, yeah, I don't think that's going to work. But whenever we do get our events back, we can't wait to have you back at Turning Point USA. God bless you, Candace, and thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
What a great conversation that was for Candace Owens. Please go support her and buy her book. And if you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, the nation's largest grassroots student organization, over 2,000 high school and college campuses across the country, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. For adults out there, chip in some money if you can. We have a big announcement about how Turning Point USA is operating during this crisis, and I think everyone listening to the show will really enjoy it. You go to tpusa.com. If you're a student out there, you want to start a chapter, join a chapter, go to one of our future events, or stay engaged or stay involved, go to tpusa.com and type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider right now. Make sure that subscribe button is hit. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit that subscribe button, give us those 5-star reviews, and please email me right now, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Send in your questions, send in your comments and your feedback, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much, everybody. More episodes coming up. We have Nikki Haley, Governor Kristi Noem, and many others. Email us some questions that you want me to ask Nikki Haley, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much, everybody. Make sure you're subscribed so you know exactly when these episodes drop. Thanks so much, and God bless.
Hey, I'm Autumn Calabrese, and I have a question for you. How do you do life? I might be a superstar trainer, but I'm also a boy mom, sister, daughter, friend, and entrepreneur. You might think my life is all working out and cooking healthy, delicious recipes, but trust me, there is so much more to it, and this is it. This is all of those real moments you talk about with your family and friends. Ever wonder what else life has to offer? Bring your curious appetite and let's do life together. Subscribe now at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and PodcastOne.com.